The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Yes, I'm very happy to. So basically, in the initial clinical studies of the vaccine, the trial schedule suggested that people get it at a 21-day interval. In fact, a certain leeway is always allowed. And what happened was 98% of people got it within 23 days. And in fact, the interval allowed up to 42 days, but not many people were extended out that long. Now, the original recommendations, as you know, was yes, let's stick absolutely to the 21 days because we wanted to optimize everything. WHO and their advisory group, SAGE, looked at it, looked at the evidence. And given that most people had it up to that 23 days, it felt that it was very reasonable to allow a window that was up to 28 days for normal use. So in NIAC's revised guidelines, which went up this week, we suggested, and the way the EMA have written this, is that it will be given at least 21 days after the first dose, is that we suggested that the second dose could be given 21 to 28 days. Now, as it happens, that harmonizes with the recommendations for the Moderna vaccine, which is the second RNA vaccine that has just arrived in the country just recently. So if you're thinking of trying to operate schedules from a logistical point of view, it would be much better if people could be scheduled for the, if all people could be scheduled for the same kind of follow-up, i.e. you get your first dose and you come back 4 weeks later for your second dose. So that was the reason for the slight modification in the recommendations that went out.
So what are the implications of this? Does this mean that more people can be given the vaccine more quickly?
Well, it would potentially allow for one extra week's cohort of people to get vaccinated as you schedule from the 21 to the 28 days. So that would for an extra week's supply of vaccine to be used.
Okay, so an extra week's supply. So look, it is some increase nonetheless. So that's the situation in terms of the vaccine. Where are we then in terms of rolling out the Moderna vaccine? Leo Varadkar told us yesterday on this show that it has arrived in the country.
It has arrived. I understand it's really quite small quantities. And I know the training materials for that are all ready as well. And I'm not sure when that's exactly going to schedule, but that's in and they're getting ready to go with that as well. The quantities of the Moderna, I understand, are much smaller than what we were expecting from the Pfizer or what we would be hoping for when the AstraZeneca vaccine, if it's approved, comes online at the end of the month.
How encouraged are you by the prospect of approval for the AstraZeneca vaccine?
I would be very optimistic and hopefully it will be the case. I don't think there have been any concerns around safety data. I know they were looking at the efficacy data. And so I would be very optimistic that we will also have that to roll out. And that will be a great help because, as most people probably by now are aware, it doesn't have the same logistical issues around storage, freezer capacity and those issues. So hopefully it will be a big help in terms of rolling out the vaccination program.
Do you imagine that that's the vaccine that most of us will be taking then down in, whether it's a local pop-up centre, a vaccination centre, or your local GP or pharmacy, however it's done, that's what most of us will end up taking at some point down the line?
I think it's probably likely just in terms of the amount of it and the ease of handling for it, that it probably will be the most common vaccine. But there's another very similar vaccine that may be coming online, which is the Janssen or Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, that won't be going through approval until later in this quarter. And I don't know that there will be the same quantities. There are all the issues that the procurement side have to work out and the pharma companies in terms of gearing up for manufacturing. And anytime there's a vaccine rollout campaign like this, there are often issues and glitches along the way where supplies may get delayed. There may be suddenly a quality issue to be double checked or something like that. They're very common in the rollout of any vaccination campaign. So we can always anticipate that it will not just be a smooth, uneventful pathway. There will always be ups and downs along the way.
Yeah, and there is talk today of one of those downs, a slight delay maybe in some of the Pfizer deliveries while they upgrade a plant, of course, like if that is the
those
case.
Those are the kind of things that would happen. I mean, we see it in antibiotics. We see it in vaccines. We see it in anything. If there's something happens in a manufacturing plant, they sometimes have to pause in one area. So those things are just unavoidable, I think.
How do you imagine once, assuming that we get approval for the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine and possibly Johnson & Johnson further down the line, which would be a real game changer as well, a single dose vaccine. How do you imagine GPs and others working through those categories of people to get vaccinated? Because, you know, we'd be here till the end of time if either yourselves or the HSE or GPs individually had to work out who does what job, what category you fall into, and exactly when you'll get it. I mean, will it be an honour system? Will it, like being called up to your flight, will everyone in rows, you know, A
well,
through
J, one of the
please
things
contact
that
your GP
one of,
this week?
Yeah, one of the things I hear back from the GPs very much is that the GPs know their patients. The GPs, I think, have been far ahead of many in terms of their electronic systems and knowing their patients and having an awareness of what, you know, the categories for their patients. So I think the GPs will be far ahead of us all in being able to do this.
So if I ring the centre and I claim I have an underlying health condition and I'm age 70, they'll say, Kieran, would you go way out of that? We'll see you maybe later in the year.
Your GP will know.
Okay,
your
all right.
Your GP will know, Kieran.
All right, okay. Look, that might be how that works out. Are you encouraged? There was no small amount of criticism, and understandable, I think, just born out of natural human frustration with the pace of vaccine rollout in the early days. Now, you and others, I know, were keen, and you made a point in the station about it being marathons and not sprints. Are you encouraged today at the pace of that rollout?
I think it's been amazing. I mean, if you've looked today, suddenly we are, I think, number two in the EU in terms of vaccinations per head of population. So I think everyone who has been involved at the logistics end and the implementation end and the people who really, I think, are the at some levels unsung heroes, the National Immunization Office and the public health. I mean, the public health team and arms of our health service have been remarkable in doing this and the coordination, all the work that has gone on from the HSE to get this out. Cooperation and coordination from acute hospital services out. And I know it's not perfect. I mean, none of us will say it's been perfect. And I know that there's been people who've left on the outside. And that is totally understandable.
One of those imperfections, and apologies to cut across, but one of those imperfections is this allegation of but a queue jumping may be going on in some hospitals that, well, of course, there's admin staff and there are managerial staff who would be very close to the front line. There are others less so, and they've been vaccinated. And I'm conscious we have nurses listening to this in hospitals where they haven't seen any.
I think we have to be cautious. You never know the full situation or the full circumstances.
Okay.
I mean, yes, I'm sure. I'm not saying there hasn't been some slippage. I wouldn't say that, but I'm probably saying not all of what appears slippage is slippage. There may be good reasons why things happen. There may not have been suitable people available or whatever. And from the leadership point of view, I think in the beginning, it's been important for people who are leaders in their hospitals to show that they themselves are willing to take the vaccine. Because if you remember, we seem to have almost come a full circle. It's not that long ago that people were saying, look, this is too rushed. I'm not going to go there. We were worried about it. And we're calling on people, well, would you get the vaccine yourself? So I think we have to be, you know, we have to be kind in our assessments of things while at the same time knowing that, yes, we need to tighten up in those areas. And I know the HSE have put in a lot of work in that and trying to define and reminding people that we want those most at risk to get it first. We want the frontline workers, be they in hospitals or in the community. Mm. And yes, you know, it's a learning curve as well, because we've never had to deal with something on this scale so rapidly for everybody at the same level. And when I say we, I'm not involved at the frontline at that and don't want to take the credit for any of that, but it's the people right out there who are trying to decide, how do we do this? Because if we had enough vaccines and enough people to vaccinate everyone, as I heard someone today, in a single week, there would still be people who would feel, why am I left till Friday instead of Monday? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to get it out to everybody, believe me. And we're starting, and it's good to know, we're also starting an active prioritization review to make sure that we are, as best as we can, and there is a human element, as best as we can, target those who are most at risk. So that active review process has already started, and we'll be looking. We've said prioritization is a live issue. We are committed to that and trying to keep that under review.
Carina Butler, who is chair of the National Immunization Advisory Committee. Carina, thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Stay with us here on The Hard Shoulder. After the break, we're going to be talking about what life might look like post-vaccine for some people if they might be booking holidays this year.